I asked Judy, I said, should I try to preach? I'm like, I don't know if I should say anything after that or not. Do you remember Mike Watson? Do you remember Mike Watson? Pastor, you should become friends with him on Facebook. Maybe you could help him out a little bit. We played a lot of softball with him. Yeah, it was a good time. And he led Jehovah Jireh every Sunday. Do you remember that? Yes, that's... San Diego is a great place to be, that's for sure, at that time. So I do want to share with you, I'm going to be quick. I know you don't believe that I can do a 30-minute sermon, because I don't normally, but we're going to try, okay? And, you know, I appreciate what Roger said. I just would say I totally agree. I mean, God is real. And you're right, you did not witness to me, but Jesus was at the center of everything. And I mean, that's what speaks. And yeah, let God be in control. And actually, it was Cheryl. Cheryl picked on me worse than anybody. She used to give it to me hard, man. So anyways, if you have your Bibles, open with me to Colossians 2, verses 2 through 3. And I'll just say, this is not going to be a specific what you would think of maybe as a 4th of July sermon, but I think it ties in with where we're at in our country today. There's just so much craziness. You just wonder, it's like, you know, we've got information at our fingertips from all around the world. You can have it anytime you want, but yet we don't seem to be any smarter. So I want to kind of deal with that today, and hopefully moving forward, at least for ourselves, we can make the most out of and be wise. God tells us to be wise. It is the greatest thing that we should pursue in our lives, is to get wisdom. So I want to talk a little bit about that today. Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3. I want them to be encouraged and knit together, be strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ itself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, the drivetrain to wisdom. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. Help me to be accurate in teaching your word. Give us open hearts and ears to hear what you would speak to us. And Lord, we do it all for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, this is not really a 4th of July sermon, but I think it addresses a great need that we see in our country. We live at a time where there's more knowledge, more information, more learning, more advanced degrees. Everybody, you know, when I went graduated high school, like five or six of us out of my class went on to college. Nowadays, over half the high school classes go off to college, and there's, you know, more people getting degrees and more kind of things. And I don't mean to be rude, but I think we're dumber than we've ever been. Okay, when you hear it. So there's a disconnect somewhere, and I see in this we have, and there are various words used, but we see knowledge, which I equate to information. I know a piece of information, and then there's understanding. I have this information, but now I need to understand what to do with it. And when I do, when I do that, it can lead to wisdom, which is where we want to end up. And we live in a world that is simply full of information. And I am a great collector of information. I just retain strange details that aren't really good for anything other than being really good at Trivial Pursuit. I know a bunch of just useless, trivial information, and I crush Trivial Pursuit. But it's not, what is it good for? You know, what do you do with it? It has to actually be useful. And the Bible speaks of all of these three different things, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And sometimes it can be confusing because it actually uses them interchangeably. And so we want to do that. I, one of the illustrations I have, I have a former Navy friend of mine that is a middle school principal, you know, got an advanced degree, he's a principal of middle school, and yet we were having these debates back and forth about, he has a very different political view than I do, and I asked him where he got his understanding, and he told me, hey, you should read this book. I read this book, it was just complete, it was so stupid. The guy had all these, most of the information, the guy in the book that he told me to read, he recorded the information correctly, but he misinterpreted it in every situation of what that information meant. And this is the problem that we have. It's not just enough to have the information. Do you understand what it means so that you can put it into practice? And I have a little illustration here showing what I mean by how we live in just a ridiculously dumb time. And I picked this up on seeing warning labels. You ever see some of the warning labels on products out there? Now, I know there are people out there, we think we should do away with warning labels, and this would be beneficial in the evolutionary process. It would weed out certain people. The first one, Tylenol. Nitol. Do you know what the warning label is on Nitol? May cause drowsiness. I hope so. That's what I'm paying for. Next one, a blowtorch. The warning label on the blowtorch, contents may catch fire. Eggs. This is no joke. The warning label on this egg says may contain eggs. I guess some people have an issue, are allergic to eggs. So they put a warning label on a carton of eggs that said, warning you, now just be careful, this carton of eggs might, maybe, just perhaps, contain eggs. I love this next one. A fox bobcat urine powder. Now, I'm not sure what this is used for, but it does warn you it's not for human consumption. I think I could have figured that one out just by the name of it. Hello? The Dremel rotary tool, it tells you that this product is not intended to be used as a dental instrument. I got to admit, I'd kind of like to try it on someone else. I'd give it a shot. Superman costume. Can you guess what this one tells you? You can't fly and it doesn't give you superpowers. Hey, if it did, I'd be going out and buying one. I'd wear it all the time. If you could fly by putting this on, we'd all be wearing Superman costumes, wouldn't we? Scrubbing bubbles. Now, I can only come up with one possibility of what they're trying to warn you against. Scrubbing bubbles, do not use for personal hygiene. And I'm assuming they're talking about feminine hygiene. I don't know. But anyways, I'm thinking, you got to be warned about that. And the coup de grace, the front loader, the skid loader, avoid death. I thought that was pretty obvious. Don't we all pretty much try to avoid death? Didn't we just spend the last 15, 16 months of everybody trying to avoid death? So I really don't think that warning label, I never really needed anybody to tell me that I needed to try to, you know, avoid death. I mean, I'm not gonna obsess about it, but I'm not gonna put myself in a situation where I might die. Now, I'm sorry, but you gotta be a dumb person to need those warning labels. Chris was saying, I've seen this on Facebook back in the 60s and 70s, whatever, your owner's manual came with your car, told you how to set the timing and the point of the points and all this stuff. Now the book tells you don't drink the coolant. Don't drink the battery acid. Oh, how we have fallen. Oh. So anyways, we need to look and understand the differences here. I want to look very quickly. These words that are translated as knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge, the Greek word is gnosis, and it means knowledge or information, and that's kind of sometimes the way I like to think about it. And it's used like scientific bits of information. Sometimes, though, in the Bible, it's also translated understand, and this is where we get confused, because it means knowledge or information, but it also, depending on the context, can be used to understand, because these things are all intertwined. The word often translated in the Bible, understand, is sunaimi, which means to understand something, but it's also sometimes translated wisdom. And I think that the reason, as I've looked at this contextually, is because one leads to the other. Information gives you the opportunity to then gain understanding. Without the information, I can't understand because there's nothing to understand. Understanding leads to the possibility of now I can apply it and I can have wisdom. So I need to have understanding before I can use it so that it can be wisdom. And wisdom, finally, it's Sophia is the Greek word for wisdom, which sometimes is also translated understanding. So it can be kind of fusing. And so how do we sort all of this out? And that's what I'm going to attempt to do very quickly today. I want to start by seeing if we can see how we use these in context in Scripture so that we can define them a little bit better. So let's first of all look at knowledge or information, if you will. 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 and 2, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge." Or we have, if you will, the word information. "Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not yet known as he ought." So in this passage, we see that Paul says, he's writing to the Jews primarily. He says they have knowledge, and they have knowledge about the food sacrificed to idols. They know the rules. When it comes to eating certain foods and eating them at certain times, following the laws that were given, they have information about how to do it. They have information about when to eat, when not to eat, okay? But what is lacking in this is that God did not give the Jews rules for what to eat, how to prepare it, when to eat it, simply for the purpose of knowing what to eat and when. He gave those rules, those guidelines, to communicate to them spiritual truths and things about his own nature and the way that they relate to him. So it wasn't just about the food. His problem, Paul's beef with the Jews was, you have the information. You know what to eat, what not to eat, when to eat it, how to prepare it, but you don't understand what God is trying to communicate to you through it. You have information, but it's not benefiting you. Because why? He's giving them a hard time because they are away. And it's not just the Jews. When he's writing to Corinth, a lot of these were new converts, but the first converts were Jews being converted to Christianity. He's saying, look, you had the Jewish law, you had those rules, you had that information, but now through Christ, now that we have a new covenant, let me show you how to understand what it is God's trying to communicate to you. I'm going to tie all this together at the end in one, I hope, illuminative example. So it's not just enough to have the information. And that's what Paul's telling him. You have knowledge, and it says, knowledge here, it says, makes you arrogant. I think NIV says, knowledge puffs up. We can know a lot. We can have a lot of information, and we feel really smart. We think we're really something. And you see it all the time with all the talking heads on TV. With all their degrees. They have all this information, and man, they are impressed with themselves. Hello? Because they have all this information. They have no understanding of what to do with the information that they have. And that's what Paul, but they are full of themselves. They are puffed up. You'll never convince people like that they don't know what they're talking about. Why? Because they have all this information that they can regurgitate onto a test, and they do it well enough that they get a bachelor's, a master's, and a PhD. Man, you're not going to tell them anything different because they're smart. No, they got a bunch of information that they have no idea what to do with it. And Paul says, the Jews, you got all this information about food sacrificed to idols, but you misunderstand. God isn't just telling you how to cook the food or what to eat. He's trying to communicate to you about your relationship with him and about his nature, okay? And so that's understanding. Knowledge in itself, information in itself. And we live in, what do we often call this? The what? The information age. We have more information at our fingertips than any other time. My phone's back there, but in that phone, there is more computing power by far than what put man on the moon. And it took a room this size to hold computers to put man on the moon. And there's almost infinitely more power in that phone than there were in all those computers. Information of the entire world at our fingertips. So much so that we get overwhelmed by it when we start trying to look up. Luke 11:42 says, "Woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all of other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone." The Pharisees knew the rules. They knew that they were to give their 10%, but they lacked understanding of how truly important it was in caring for people's needs. And so they elevated themselves and didn't take care of other people's needs. It's not about just giving, you know, the 10%. It's about seeing that other people's needs are met, doing your job. They knew the rules, but they lacked how truly important to understand how important it was. Their position was God had placed them as in spiritual leadership. And instead, they saw it as like, look at me, aren't I something? They loved the position. They loved the adulation and the respect, the power that came with the position. They knew the rules, but they didn't understand what God had called them to do. They thought it was about them rather than using their position to be a blessing to the people that they were supposed to serve. They viewed themselves as the ones to be served rather than to serve. So they can have all the information about what it is to be a spiritual leader, but not understand what it is they're supposed to do with that. Are you getting my point here about the difference between understanding and really, or knowledge, information, and then really understanding what to do with it? I want to tie this and use this as this example. I'm going to tie it into a car to help us understand this. We have knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And in a car, we have gas, fuel in the tank, we have the engine, and then we have the drivetrain. Okay? I'm going to use this as an illustration to help us to kind of understand this. I want to look at Mark 4, verses 10 and 12. Ooh, I'm going to have to preach fast here. Listen, you're going to have to listen fast. I want to look at the engine. We've talked about not information. That's the fuel. Information is the fuel. It's in the tank. It's sitting there. It has potential power. It's sitting there. It's power in potentia. It can, if ignited, if exploded, it can give off power. But in the tank, it's just sitting there, it's potential power. Information, when we have bits of information, it's potential power. But we'd have to know what to do with it to convert it into real useful power. So the gas goes from where? The gas tank, where it sets its power in potentia. It goes to what? The engine. We're going to keep this simple. It doesn't matter whether it's carburetor or fuel injected, okay, guys? Don't get carried away with me. Okay, it goes to the engine, and it gets what? It gets ignited. It explodes through compression and heat and air. It combusts. And when it does that, it releases energy. So understanding takes the information and knows how to use it to turn it into power, to make it useful. And then we'll get to how it gets used. Mark 4, verses 10 through 12 says, "As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, and those who are outside get everything in parables, in order that while seeing, they may see but not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear but not understand, lest they return and be forgiven." So he's saying those outside the kingdom, they might get the information, but they don't have the understanding. So I speak to them in parables because it's going to be, you know, they don't know how to translate that, how to use that. But to you, I'm giving it to you straightforward so that you can make use of it, so that it can be used. This passage comes as Jesus had just told the parable of the sower and the seed. He's given them information. He gave them information by telling them the parable of the sower and the seed, but the people didn't know what to do with it. Okay, you told us about the parable of the sower and the seed. How do I understand it so that it's useful to me? Because they lacked understanding and information, that knowledge did not give them the ability to put it into practice and have God's power operate through it. That's why he tells them in parables, but he tells the disciples straightforward. Luke 24, verses 46 and 47 says, "And it came about that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers." This, of course, is the account of Jesus when he remained in Jerusalem after they had been to the temple. He had been to the temple with his parents, and they're on the way home, and they get several days into the journey, and they realize Jesus isn't with us. And they go back, and they find him sitting with the scholars, and they're amazed at his answers. this is what's interesting. When it says they're amazed at his answers, it's not that he has information that they're amazed at. It doesn't say, man, this guy'd be great at Trivial Pursuit. Look at all the information he's got. They're amazed at his understanding. It's not only that he knows the information, it's that he understands what it means and how it can be applied. And that's what God is looking for. We need to have understanding. Information that is turned and the power of it is released because I understand what to do with that information. Just like the gasoline that is sent to the engine and the power is released so that it has more potential to accomplish greater, more powerful things. So at this point, our engine is understanding. We have gas's knowledge, okay, or information. The engine is understanding, and it needs to be utilized. We need to turn this into something that's very useful. Now in a car, once that gas has been ignited, that explosion has taken place, it drives that piston down, it turns the crankshaft, power is sent through, you know, the transmission, all this, to the drive shaft. And the drive shaft sends that power that was released in the explosion of the gasoline to the drive wheels. Okay, again, it doesn't matter if you have posi traction, front wheel drive, rear wheel drive. It sends the power to the drive wheels. And the drive wheels then do what? They move the car. They produce something. They got you here this morning. They're going to get you to the only place, the only restaurant apparently in the county that's open today, Bob Evans. Everybody, I thought it was so interesting that all of our illegal friends in the Mexican restaurants are closed today for American 4th of July. I thought that was so interesting. Did you know that? We called, hey, you going to be open? They couldn't even understand. Judy goes, mañana, open? No, not open. No, not mañana, not July 4th, no. Mañana means tomorrow, by the way. So anyways, I digress. It makes it producible. That gasoline in the tank, just sitting there, it's not good for anything. But it has potential. I take it and I send it to the engine that knows what to do with it. Knows what to do with it. I'm going to ignite it and release the energy. And then once it's been released, you do what with it? You put it into work to work. It goes to the drive wheels, and now I can drive anywhere I want. I can drive all over the place. It's productive. Wisdom is productive. This is what God's wanting to get us to. Matthew 11, verses 18 and 19 says, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." I think NIV says wisdom is proved right by her children. Wisdom is vindicated by its deeds. They said, look at what Jesus does, and it doesn't look good. He's a friend of drunkards, gluttons, tax collectors. But Jesus said, look, you're misunderstanding how to determine whether something is wise or not. Is that you tell if it's wise by what it produces. It's wise by, that's what it means by its children, by its deeds. Wisdom is proved right by her children. If it produces good things, productive things, then it was wise. So we know by what it produces whether or not it's true wisdom, okay? So how do we take that? That's one way to, so we got information, knowledge. I know something. I know it. It's up there. I know that the skipper's name on Gilligan's Island was Jonas Grumby. How many of you knew that? Everybody that, like me, knows that. Jonas Grumby. All right. I know things, that piece of information. What do I do with it? Well, I play Trivial Pursuit, I guess, and I win. But what do I do with that information? It's not any good unless you do something with it. You have to know what to do with it. That's understanding. I understand what to do with that information. I use it to make a point in a sermon. I understand I can use it to make a point. So now I have understanding of what I can do with it. But now, if it clicks with you and you go, I get it, now it's become wisdom. I've done something with it. I've produced something with it. How do we know if it's good? We know if it's good by what it produces. Was it wise? Or did it produce wise fruit? Wisdom is proved right by her children. I want to close all this by giving you an example, by giving you an illustration. How many of you know what the mathematical term pi is? Raise your hands. If you've heard of pi, you know what it is. Okay. How many of you know what the numerical value, the approximate numerical value of pi is? What is it? 3.14. Okay, like half the hands in here. Half of you in here know that you know what, you've heard of pi, and you know what the value is. You have information. You have knowledge. You know there's 3.14. Do you understand what it does for you? I know other than Chris and my son, okay, how many, do you know what to do with it? We all can say 3.14, but do we know what to do with it? Warm it up and put some ice cream on top of it. It is used to calculate the surface area of a circle. Okay, not a one that two-dimensional circle, all right? Pi times the radius, pi r, and then square that. And it gives you the area of a circle. So that's understanding. So we have pi, the information, 3.14. We have pi r squared. I take 3.14 times the radius, which is half from the center of the circle out to the edge of the circle. That's the radius, half the width. And then I square that, and that gives me the circle, the surface area of the circle. So we have information, we have understanding. How do I turn it into knowledge? Well, I got a question for you. Let's say you call up the pizza store, and they tell you, hey, we got a deal. We got a great deal. We got two pizzas for two 10-inch pizzas for $15. Or you can order a 16-inch pizza for $15, the same price. Which are you going to order? Two 10-inch pizzas for $15 or one 16-inch pizza for $15. Which are you going to order? Well, if you're my wife, you break out pi r squared, and you calculate the surface area of the pizza because that's one of the uses it's for. And when you get the answer, you're going to be wise. I'm going to, just for the fun of it, we're going to run through the math here. So 3.14, and I took it out, 3.141592, okay, times the radius, okay, of the 10-inch pizza, and square it, and you come up with 156 square inches. So two, and you have two of them though. That's times two. Times two, the two pizzas, you have 156 square inches of pizza between two 10-inch pieces. But on a 16-inch pizza, 3.14592 times 64, okay, times the radius times squared, because the radius squared is 64, okay? So pi times radius times squared, you come up with 201 square inches of pizza. So what, tell me, which is bigger, 156 square inches or 201 square inches? Which one's bigger? Which one do you get more pizza with? You get more pizza with one 16-inch pizza instead of two 10-inch pizzas for the same price. So, since you have that information, what does wisdom tell you to do? According to what's on them. I have to admit, I haven't taken that into account. If it's got sardines or pineapple on it, you can forget it. I don't care how many square inches of pizza I get. I'll leave it to somebody. I should know better than to ask questions with this group. Given it's a plain pizza, which one are you buying? The 16-inch, right? The wise move is to buy the 16-inch. So I have the information. I know about pi. I have understanding. I know how to use it. Pi r squared, pi times the radius times squared tells me the surface area of the pizza. And I do the math, and I find it's wiser for me. I get more pizza to buy the one 16-inch instead of the 2-inch, the two 10-inch. Information, understanding, wisdom. Fuel, engine, drive wheels. We all want to get to where we produce something with the information that we get, right? We get information into our lives, but we want to be able to do good things with it. We want to be able to produce with it. That's where God wants us to get. God did not want us to simply stop at information. If information alone, you know, was a qualifier, I'd be in some significant leadership role in this country because I got a lot of useless information in my head. When it comes to wisdom, I'm in Ohio City, okay? There you go. But God wants us to get to wisdom. He doesn't want us to just gain information. He wants us to understand it and then put it into practice and produce good things because wisdom is proved right by what it produces. Amen?